There are approximately 6,000 homeless men, women, and children in the Philadelphia area. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission strives to feed, clothe, and shelter every member of the homeless community that steps through our doors. At Sunday Breakfast, we serve 3 healthy meals a day on every day of the year. An average of 600 meals are served daily. With your help, Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission will continue to ensure that no one goes hungry in Philadelphia. You can help by hosting a food drive, donating, or volunteering today. It only costs $1.95 to feed one person. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission feed the homeless today. To make your gift or learn more, visit sundaybreakfast.org or text the word THANKS to 41444. That's text THANKS to 41444. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. Provide a meal. Give hope. Change a life.
Homeworks Premium Thrift is a shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets. So come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.
You're the God of this.
Hope Rescue Mission is a sponsor of Your Family Matters. For 121 years, Hope Rescue Mission, located at 645 North 6th Street in Reading, has provided a daily safe haven while ministering to the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of the homeless in Berks County. We share the hope that can only be found in Christ, transforming the lives of those in need. Our programs feed, house, clothe, and guide men so that they experience a better quality of life. Over 10,000 square feet of thrift stores are located directly behind the mission, which is open on Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 5 and Saturdays from 8 to 4. We invite you to stop by and shop our large selection of gently used furniture, clothing, and homeless items as you support Hope. We're pleased to accept your donations of any of these items. Contact us at 610-375-4224 to arrange for a pickup at your home or business. Since the cost needed to operate and care for these men continues to grow, your support and continuing partnerships are so greatly appreciated. We receive no outside or government funding as we strive with the Lord's guidance and direction to restore those who seek our help to lead upright and productive lives. Please keep Hope Rescue Mission in your thoughts and prayers as we serve those in need. Again, thank you, Hope Rescue Mission, for being a sponsor of Your Family Matters.
When you're in the Lehigh Valley, you're welcome to worship with us at Calvary Baptist Church, 5300 Green Pond Road in Easton, Pennsylvania. Our worship services are each Sunday at 8:45 and 10:20. We seek to be a church that practices the ABCs of the Christian faith. A, we try to appeal to all ages of people. B, be Bible-based in our preaching and teaching ministry. And C, be Christ-centered in all our ministries. God bless you and have a great day.
That was Pastor Larry Bird. Check out his website at calvarybaptistpa.org.
This is Your Family Matters with Carla DeDessi.
We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back again. Let the light.
This is Your Family Matters with Carla DeDessi.
Good morning. This is Carla DeDessi here with Your Family Matters at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty this Friday and every Friday. Thank you for joining me from 8 until 9. Christmas is very, very close. And I am so excited to introduce my next guest this morning. Her name is Jill Page. She's super awesome, and I hope that you will go to her website at the end of this show or even during this show and check out all of her fabulous gifts. She started a nonprofit a little bit ago, and I always love buying Christmas gifts that make the person who receives it happy, but Jill's gifts also go out and help other people. So Jill, I am going to introduce you this morning. Jill Page, thank you so much for joining us. She has started Every Good Gift.
Thanks, Carla.
Can you explain a little bit about Every Good Gift? Why did you create it?
Every Good Gift employs women, single mothers, young single mothers, who either are living at maternity homes, so housing ministries for pregnant and parenting young women, or who are involved with one of our local pregnancy help centers. And it's a business, but it's also a ministry to the women. So we started this Every Good Gift because I've worked with young moms for lots of years, and I found that there are many needs in their lives. Certainly there's a huge need for housing of young moms, and mentoring and lots of different things. But one piece that seemed to be missing was job training. So this is a job training ministry. We create greeting cards, and we will in the new year be creating gift baskets. So that's the work that we do. But in the process, our goal is that we are helping the women to develop job, life, and relationship skills.
And this sounds like an amazing ministry. It really stands out. I know that there's a lot of services that help single moms, but I'm not aware of too many that create job skills for these moms. I think that's a real difference with your organization, Every Good Gift. So that's really the gift as well. They're creating these gifts, but you're giving the gift of work or job skills to these moms. Is that correct?
That's right, and they are really grateful to have a job. I have four wonderful young women that are working with us, eagerly working, doing a great job, showing creativity, and thankful to be getting paid. And some see this as a transition into the workforce.
Okay.
What will happen is by working with us, they're gaining job skills, but a reference for their resume or for their job application and job history.
Okay.
And usually the moms that are being served in the maternity homes are women who've had really hard lives. You know, just a difficult upbringing, oftentimes, not always, but often in urban settings, in generational poverty, and difficult situations in terms of perhaps their parents or being in foster care, different situations like that. So they're coming into parenthood lacking many of the resources that we tend to take for granted.
You used a word, generational poverty. Can you describe that a little bit?
Yes. This comes from a book called Bridges Out of Poverty. And I love this book because it explains what I had been seeing for years as I was doing ministry in the Philadelphia public schools and working with families in crisis. They say there are three authors of this book. They say that there are three groups of people. Those in generational poverty, which is different than situational poverty. If I were to suddenly lose my job, I would perhaps have situational poverty. But someone in generational poverty, it's two or more generations of their family that have lived in poverty. And then there's the middle class, and then there's wealth. They said that each of these three groups of people has certain values that they hold and hidden rules in the way that they do things. We assume that everybody has the same hidden rules as us. The world of work, the job field, and then also schools run on middle class values. when you're growing up in generational poverty, you are learning the skills that are needed to survive in constant crisis and chaos. Those skills do not translate well into the school or later into the job field.
Interesting. That makes perfect sense, but I never thought about that.
Right, right. And we don't, because, you know, we usually are in a school and in a community of people who are at a similar kind of income level. And, you know, our family, it's often very homogeneous. And there's so many things that we don't know. It's actually really interesting. In this book, they have three quizzes for each of those three groups of people. They say, could you survive in each of these three groups? Well, I aced the middle class quiz, but the generational poverty and the wealth, I only got one correct on each of those quizzes. Yeah, and it's really surprising. I would think, well, you know, I could handle myself. No, I can't.
No, you could. You wouldn't survive a day, huh?
Right.
Yeah, I probably would not either, Jill. Has this ever been done before, this kind of program?
It has. There's a woman, Jan Martinez, out in Spokane, Washington, who about 20 years ago started a ministry called Christ Kitchen. And she employs women living in poverty in the Spokane area. And they've been in the food industry. They started making gourmet dry food mixes, and they've got a deli and a catering business and so forth. They've really grown over the years. But it was fascinating to read her book, because she was describing the women. I'm saying, that's what I've been seeing. You know, that's exactly it. She got the needs that I was trying to address, and she did a wonderful job of putting them into words. So she's been mentoring me and guiding me in the process of creating Every Good Gift.
That's amazing that you have a mentor. And it actually, in your description right there, it's allowing me to understand a little bit more about what you're doing. So really, you are acting as a mentor to these single moms that perhaps maybe they've never worked before, maybe they've never been inspired to have a job, or they've been in debt in jobs, but you're taking them and saying, look, let's try and do this together. It's a business that you can have some autonomy with. Mm-hmm. And you can learn some skills here and take that somewhere else, or can they stay with you with Every Good Gift?
Well, we are paying minimum wage, so I hope that they don't stay with us in the long term, because the idea is that this prepares them to get a job that will offer more hours. We've got short part-time hours now, job with more hours and higher pay. But it's not just me that's mentoring them. We have volunteers who every day come and sit and work with us. So that one of the ways to move from generational poverty into the middle class is to learn those hidden rules by being mentored.
Right. And they didn't have moms or grandmothers or dads to mentor them in this way, because, as you said, they were in this generational poverty trap.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So do they come to your office and they're making these gift baskets? Show me what that looks like.
Okay.
For volunteers, for people that may want to volunteer with you, or someone that's listening that may want to call you and come in and be one of your mentorees.
Right.
Is that a word?
Mentees, maybe.
Thank you.
So we've tried to remove the barriers to working. If you are in generational poverty, you probably don't have a car, and so you need to take public transportation to get to anything that you're going to. So we are working at a church that's on a main road with a bus stop directly in front of it. We also have childcare, because women are caught in this conundrum of you can't get a job until you have childcare, and you can't get childcare until you have a job to make money. So we are providing childcare, and volunteers are doing that. So we have each day the women come to this church. We have a room. They actually have named the room before we got there, craft room. And then across the hall, there's a nursery where the children are being watched. They come in, and we work on, sometimes we all work on the same project. Sometimes each woman is working on a different project. We are in right now and just finishing up our pilot project. We started working in October, and now it's almost about 2 months. We've been making greeting cards, and then we also made tiny little gift boxes and decorated them. We'll be selling them in craft fairs in early December, and then in January, we hope to be selling our products online and then also starting to offer gift baskets.
So online, either your website, which is everygoodgift.org.
That's right.
Or on places like Etsy?
We'll start with our website, and we're going to just grow gradually. Because we're only able to work 10 hours a week based on the funding that we have, we can't go too big and have too many different marketing strategies. We need to be sure that we can fulfill all the orders that we get.
Jill, where are you getting your funding from?
There are individuals that provide monthly or annual support. Churches, a number of churches are supporting us, and then some foundations have given small grants. So we're continuing to seek funds in all those different ways.
Okay, so you're not getting any government funding, but you are getting funding from churches, individuals, and foundations.
That's right, and purposely not choosing government sources because it's very much a Christian ministry, and I would like it to remain that way with no strings attached to it.
Right, because we understand as Christians that a job is so wonderful and teaching these skills is amazing, but Jesus Christ is the one that really changes these women's lives and,
right.
and their children's lives. So that's awesome that you're able to do that. If we have listeners that want to donate or volunteer with you, how do they get in touch with you?
So they will go to our website, www.everygoodgift.org. There is a contact us form. It's possible to give on the website, checking on the giving section. And they can email me, which is jillpage@everygoodgift.org, if they don't want to go on the website.
Okay, can you give us the name of some of the craft fairs where you're going to be this month if we do want to come out and support you?
Well, on December 5th, we are going to be at New Life Presbyterian Church's craft fair in Glenside. And later that night, we're actually at another event in Ardsley. It's a community tree lighting event. So those are our two for December.
And if someone's listening and they want to invite you to come to their church bazaar or to their Christian school's craft show, would you be interested in that?
Very interested, yes.
Okay. So when did you begin working with these women? Is this a new nonprofit?
It is a brand new nonprofit. I started working to form it November of 2014, and we, you know, incorporated and got the 501c3 status and all of the setup work and grant writing, and then started work with the women in October after doing some kind of practice sessions with them to introduce them to what we'd be doing. One element that we haven't talked about yet is that by being this Christian organization with a mission statement where we really want to introduce women to Christ, we have a weekly Bible study which has gone really well. Of the four women that have worked with us, three have actually prayed to receive Christ, which is amazing.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
That's so exciting.
And so now we have a scripture promise of the week. And we'll pray during the day. It's exciting to have the opportunity to be showing the women, okay, what does it mean to be a daughter of the King? Who is God? And what is different now? And to introduce them to promises from Scripture is just a real privilege.
Jill, it's so hopeful that you have women who are in generational poverty and now they can claim being daughters of a king.
That's right.
I think that's the most exciting part of your nonprofit, everygoodgift.org. So what have you learned being in this situation? And happy birthday, by the way. Your organization is 1 year old. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been a really great year. Just a privilege to see God providing each step of the way, which each of the things that we needed to do, and we have this wonderful board of directors who've got such an array of skills. That's been a wonderful gift. But what have I learned? One of the things that I knew ahead of time that I've just seen again is that even though the women lack resources, they don't have financial resources, they don't have much of a support system usually, they desire to be good mothers. Right? They love their children, and they want to give them a wonderful childhood. So that's great to see that again. What I'm seeing a little bit more than ever before is how difficult it is to be living in poverty. Mm. You know, how the challenges of when you take public transportation and you've got one or two children, it is not easy, especially if it takes you multiple buses or buses and subways and trains to get to work. With a child or with two children, that's really challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Those little baby carriers are heavy, and if you're trying to bring an umbrella because it's raining, that's challenging.
Or a sick child, or
right,
or a child that didn't sleep very well the night before, or who's teething. I know, you know, I really take for granted that, and a lot of these young moms don't have their moms helping them. You know, I have, right. I have a mom that helped me with all of my children. You know,
yeah.
She's popped into the house every day. I even had a mother-in-law, you know, that's amazing. It was such a huge blessing to me. And to think that these moms, are taking care of their children completely on their own. They're navigating solo because they didn't have a mom show them how it's done well. So I'm just so thankful for you that you're able to come alongside of them. Can you tell us a little bit about your own personal testimony? I know that you worked with Urban Family Council, and we've actually had Bill Devlin on quite a bit on your family matters here.
Right, okay.
So I know that he's not with Urban Family Council anymore, but what a great organization that is. So can you give us a little bit about who you are and starting this? What's your testimony?
Sure. I am a single woman. I am a mother, an adoptive mother. I adopted my daughter 8 years ago when she was 15 years old, and it was pretty exciting. In the first 6 years, I became not only a mother, but a mother-in-law and a grandmother.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I now have two beautiful grandchildren who are, of course, advanced in everything they do.
Of course. They're brilliant.
Right.
And the most gorgeous, sure.
Right. That's right.
That's how it should be.
Yes. So I became a Christian when I was 14, started out working as a music therapist, and at some point in the course of doing music therapy, which I loved, I worked mostly with elderly people, I felt God calling me into pro-life ministry. So I went to work with Urban Family Council. I was there for 19 years and then went to Bethany Christian Services and worked with a program called Safe Families for Children, which I really enjoyed doing. And now I have this third ministry opportunity. And it's one of the things that's been kind of humbling to me is to see how much I didn't understand before. You know, when I was in the Philadelphia Public Schools, and I'd be trying to think about how can we help young people understand the value of sexual purity, the lifestyle of sexual purity. How do we help them be striving for really healthy relationships?
Yes.
And how do I help them set goals that instead of I'm going to live in this neighborhood forever and life's going to be hard forever, how about setting a goal and working toward that goal? And what I eventually came to realize is that I have had resources because I was born into a two-parent family, a middle-class family, where I was supported in school. I had help with my homework and all the food I needed and a safe place to sleep every night, and, you know, a wonderful, loving family. I stepped into adulthood with a number of privileges that some of the families in need and the young moms that I'm working with didn't have. So we need to... what I see now is the value of mentoring, and both in Urban Family Council and at Bethany, when I would work with small groups of young mothers, I would see how much they appreciated even a monthly meeting or a weekly meeting where we got to talk about relationships and things that mattered and parenting. It makes sense, right? When you're not receiving a lot of support in other ways, you're going to enjoy coming together like that. So it's beautiful to see now this small group of young women and these godly women who are serving as mentors and disciplers getting together and talking about all sorts of things in life. From, you know, yesterday we were talking about hair and, and how we do our hair, but sometimes it's parenting and sometimes it's different challenges that we're facing, and we talk about budgeting and, you know, just everything you would talk about in life, TV shows and movies.
Right. Really building trust with these women.
Right. So it's just... really a privilege to be there, to get to work with them, to be kind of allowed into their lives. Not everybody gets to do that, and I really consider that an honor.
Is there a protocol from which you're working with these women? For example, are you expecting to work with them for a year and then they move on, or do they stay with you for as long as they need?
Right. We don't have a specific timeline set. Certainly, if they're living at the maternity home, most of those homes allow women to stay for up to 18 months. And so that's kind of been in the back of my mind that it would last 18 months. But if someone needed to stay longer, they could. If someone, after 3 months, gets a great job and is ready mm-hmm. to move on, then, you know, I'm all for that.
Of course. Of course. That's, I mean, you have to shove your little bird out of the nest, even if it's 3 months later. Have
right.
you connected with, I hear you saying that you're connected with maternity housing. You know Wayne Hall. Do you know Rita Whitaker?
I do.
Yes. Have you been able to partner with her girls, her moms at all? Or?
I haven't yet because we have this core group of women that are working with us. But that's certainly a connection I'll need to make in the future.
And Jill, do you have the ability to, I know that you have four women with whom you're working right now. Do you have the ability to grow that to 6 to 8 to 10, or do you need more volunteers?
Well, that sounds like you just read my business plan. So the idea was 6 women in year 1, 8 in year 2, and 10 in year 3.
Okay.
So funding hasn't allowed us to be there yet, but with enough funding to pay the women, we could easily grow to 6 women. And then, you know, grow from there. And I would like to increase the number of hours that each woman works. 10 seems to be working well for them because it provides a little extra income, and it gives them time for their long commute that they need to get there and to get home. But ideally, we'll be working 20 hours a week.
So you're located at, where are you located? New Life Community? No, that's where you're.
Right, we're in Glenside.
Oh, you're in Glenside, because I would think that. Are you getting people from North Philly primarily?
People live Montgomery County and Philadelphia.
Okay, so Montgomery County and Philly. Because I know that in Glenside, there's even in Glenside, there's probably a ton of single moms that could be utilizing your services. And it would be a shorter commute, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any plans to expand to, and of course I'm looking way long-term, but that's how I'm always thinking. Once you achieve all your short-term goals, Jill, long-term, might we set up a Every Good Gift in South Philly?
Yeah.
Or an Every Okay, I knew it.
So we talk about that sometimes as a board or just in discussions with other people. Wouldn't it be great if other churches could host something like this, and we might make different products at each site? But we would love to be able to serve more women.
Okay. But it does sound like you've shared that your mentor has the restaurant. Where is she located that she's doing this?
Spokane, Washington.
Spokane, Washington. Thank you. But really, that's totally different from what you're doing. I mean, she's helping women, and they're doing restaurant. But you're really doing something a little different.
Right. So one of the things she said is when you choose your product, it needs to be something that you can do yourself and teach other women to do. And my initial plan, even before I ever heard of Jan Martinez, was to work with food. When I read the food regulations, it seemed like that presented too many barriers at this point, starting from scratch and not having, you know, an investor who's going to give us a lot of money to build a commercial kitchen. So I would still love it if we could grow and expand and offer some catering kinds of things.
Okay, so that is down the line.
Could be.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Well, in our last few minutes together, Jill, is there anything important? What are your last inspiring words, or how can we pray for you? What do you need from us for Every Good Gift?
So we say that people can be involved in 4 different ways. You can pray, and if you would like to get prayer letters from me, just, again, use the contact form on the website or email me, and I would gladly put you on that mailing list. You can volunteer, and to volunteer, you can be a mentor, you can be a child care volunteer, or there are all sorts of other ways. You can help in the office just getting some of the paperwork kinds of things done. A third way to be involved is to donate. And so we're looking for people who would donate on a regular basis, monthly, semi-annually, annually, whatever works for them, and you can give via our website. And then a fourth way to be involved is to purchase our products.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that starting in 2016, that people will go on our website and purchase things that we're making.
Okay, and that's everygoodgift.org. You're making me think that has anyone decided to have a trunk show for you? Like, I'll open my house Christmas and just bring all of your things into my house, and I'll invite all of my friends, and they can shop with Every Good Gift.
What a wonderful idea. No one has suggested that, and I think it's a great idea.
Okay, well, I hope that we get a lot of buzz coming into your website, and people decide to have trunk shows or church shows, craft shows for Every Good Gift this season, this holiday season. So again, Jill Page, thank you so much for being here at Your Family Matters with us this morning.
Thank you, Carla.
My pleasure. I encourage all of you to go to Jill's website, everygoodgift.org, and go to her New Life in Glenside, which is where they're going to be having a craft show, and you can purchase some of these gifts. It sounds like there's a lot of opportunities for prayer, for giving money, for donating your time. It sounds like you can give 2 hours a week or 2 hours even a month. They don't, that's, and also I see that you go to churches. Can we invite you to come to our church and give a presentation on your ministry?
Absolutely. Please do.
Okay. Have a very Merry Christmas and a very happy 2016. You will certainly be in my prayers.
Thank you, and the same to you and your listeners.
This is Your Family Matters with Carla DeDessi.
We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back again. Let the lost be found. Let the dead be raised. Let the healing of the Lord be made. Let the church be
There are approximately 6,000 homeless men, women, and children in the Philadelphia area. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission strives to feed, clothe, and shelter every member of the homeless community that steps through our doors. At Sunday Breakfast, we serve 3 healthy meals a day on every day of the year. An average of 600 meals are served daily. With your help, Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission will continue to ensure that no one goes hungry in Philadelphia. You can help by hosting a food drive, donating, or volunteering today. It only costs $1.95 to feed one person. Please help Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission feed the homeless today. To make your gift or learn more, visit SundayBreakfast.org or text the word THANKS to 41444. That's text THANKS to 41444. Sunday Breakfast Rescue Mission. Provide a meal. Give hope. Change a life.
Homeworks Premium Thrift is a shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets. So come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.
You're the God of this.
Hope Rescue Mission is a sponsor of Your Family Matters. For 121 years, Hope Rescue Mission, located at 645 North 6th Street in Reading, has provided a daily safe haven while ministering to the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of the homeless in Berks County. We share the hope that can only be found in Christ, transforming the lives of those in need. Our programs feed, house, clothe, and guide men so that they experience a better quality of life. Over 10,000 square feet of thrift stores are located directly behind the mission, which is open on Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 5 and Saturdays from 8 to 4. We invite you to stop by and shop our large selection of gently used furniture, clothing, and homeless items as you support Hope. We're pleased to accept your donations of any of these items. Contact us at 610-375-4224 to arrange for a pickup at your home or business. Since the costs needed to operate and care for these men continues to grow, your support and continuing partnerships are so greatly appreciated. We receive no outside or government funding as we strive with the Lord's guidance and direction to restore those who seek our help to lead upright and productive lives. Please keep Hope Rescue Mission in your thoughts and prayers as we serve those in need. Again, thank you, Hope Rescue Mission, for being a sponsor of Your Family Matters.
When you're in the Lehigh Valley, you're welcome to worship with us at Calvary Baptist Church, 5300 Green Pond Road in Easton, Pennsylvania. Our worship services are each Sunday at 8:45 and 10:20. We seek to be a church that practices the ABCs of the Christian faith. A, we try to appeal to all ages of people. B, be Bible-based in our preaching and teaching ministry. And C, be Christ-centered in all our ministries. God bless you and have a great day.
That was Pastor Larry Bird. Check out his website at calvarybaptistpa.org.
Hi again. It's Nancy Houston Hansen of Capstone Legacy Foundation, and I have with me Merle Steiner, who is our legal consultant here and our in-house counsel and the person who helps us make sure that everybody gets exactly what they think when they open a fund with Capstone Legacy Foundation. Capstone Legacy Foundation has basically been created for the people in Delaware Valley, Montgomery County, and other areas of our region to really help them understand, help you all understand what we have available for people who really have a heart and passion to give and want to set up a fund that they can put the funds into with the security that they're going to be held for the things that they want to give to that particularly are supportive of Christian endeavors, services that support the community and help to build the community that have the values and ethics and the things that are really going to help promote better community spirit, health care, but particularly to help people understand that there's a God who loves you. There's a God who has given his life through his son for you to have life and have it abundantly, to give us the power, person, and work of the Holy Spirit to come within us, to teach us, to direct us, to help us to know how we can leave the world a better place because of his power, because of his love, because of what he gives to us. Merle and I both share a conviction for the power, person, work of the Holy Spirit of the living God through Christ and what he did for us on the cross and what he's done for you as well. If you've come to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, then we are there to help you carry out the heart and the desire that Lord has placed on you. If you haven't had that commitment, there is no greater time to think about what it can mean and how God can change your life and really bring the peace, comfort, and power of his presence into your life by receiving him. One of the things that he's put on our hearts and our lives is to really provide an opportunity for people to put things that God has blessed them with into a place where they can grow it, where they have the ability to know it's being kept safe for them. And we call people who are givers donors. And basically, that's people who have a heart and passion to see the community grow in the things that are going to support the work of Jesus Christ. So if you hear us use the word donor, it's basically meaning the word giver. And we have funds available for people to be able to develop something that would be similar to a private foundation or a private fund that would enable them to grow it and to give it out. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I'm talking with Merle about some of the things that people can do and they can give. And the difference if you set up a fund that's a public fund or versus having a private family foundation. So that's going to be our discussion for today. And welcome, Merle.
Good morning. One of the things that is very important in considering giving or your charitable planning process for your estate is how you title your assets. And the type of fund that we're going to be talking about today, the Donor Advised Fund, is a good way to make sure that the way in which your assets are given or planned takes care of the titling. Once you give to a donor advised fund, the assets are titled to Capstone, and Capstone can then follow your wishes in meeting your charitable plan giving. And of course, your wishes would be in accord with Capstone's purposes from a legal standpoint. So we would have to make sure when you set up your donor advised fund and did your charitable planning for your estate that you understood Capstone's charitable purpose, and we'll be glad to go over that with you, some of which Nancy has just gone over with you. Now, if you set up a donor advised fund, you can get a tax deduction of up to 50% of the adjusted gross income of your giving. That's in comparison to a tax deduction of up to 30% of adjusted gross income if you set up a private family foundation instead of creating a donor advised fund at Capstone. So you have a higher tax deduction limit. This is the limit on a year's giving. Of course, your whole donation to your donor advised fund is tax exempt. The only question is the extent to which you give and whether that bumps up against one of these limits on adjusted gross income giving in a given year. Of course, you can carry forward your giving or your...
if you exceed those numbers.
If you exceed those numbers, right.
So it can be a carry forward to another. I was just thinking too, Merle, one of the things we're talking about a time of year when people really are looking at the fact that they want to give, number one, but they're also trying to figure out how to minimize their income taxes. And the one thing about when you do open a donor advised fund, you have an immediate tax deduction, as Merle was telling you. And so you can take the tax deduction right now in this current year, and then you can give later. That's the neat thing about having a fund like this, because people don't always know exactly what they want to give to, or they have money that's come in at the end of the year. Sometimes it's through a bonus, sometimes it's through a legacy that's been given to them through the passing of a loved one. It can come through a variety of ways, but it gives you an instant opportunity to put it into a tax-deductible vehicle that you can then have the joy of praying through, thinking through, and giving later. So that's one of the blessings. And
yes, so there's no requirement to distribute out of your donor-advised fund in any given year, even the current year. Whereas if you set up a private family foundation, the foundation must distribute at least 5% of the corpus each year. So this is what Nancy is talking about. There's no requirement to recommend grants from your donor advised fund to charities in the current year. It can be carried over many years.
Yeah, we've had some ministries that are underneath Capstone, which we'll talk about another time, but they've had the opportunity to have people come and give significant funding to them. And you may be one of those people that have thought about giving more to either a church or a ministry where you're just not sure that you want to put it all out at the same time, but you have a certain set amount of money that could be used in that direction. That's a good time to open a donor advised fund. You get your tax deduction. You also get an opportunity to set up an account, and you have a description on that account of what it is you want to give to and why. And that helps us guide us as to what your thoughts are, what your heart is, and how we can be helpful in you doing that. And then the idea is, as long as that ministry or church or whatever function or thing that you're trying to support is viable and able to continue, you can continue giving year for year. But if anything happens to that, then you still have money left in the account to do something else. Also, I think it's important to understand that we have a commitment to your desire, and that is we are committed to what we call donor intent. When you tell us what you want to give to, and that's something that is really on your heart and spirit, if something goes wrong there in that particular ministry to which you want to support, we can also help find another one that would be similar to that, because we do have an opportunity to know a lot of ministries that are out there. And that's one of the benefits we have too, Merle. We can vet out ministries. If somebody isn't totally sure that they can do what they've been told they can do, we can help them with that. We have a lot of really interesting back office services that we give.
Yes, and the fund, the donor advised fund, can be established in a single day with a simple document. And the Capstone Legacy Foundation funds work with professional money managers and the board of directors providing experienced oversight. a donor can retain their own financial advisor for their donor advised fund if the fund is greater than a certain amount, in this example, $50,000. So if you have your own financial advisor, you can bring him or her along and give advice to the donor advised fund assets for the period prior to the granting out of monies from the donor advised fund. Capstone has an experienced board and staff. They can provide expertise to donors on a wide range of gift management, finance, and fund administration issues. If you set up your own private foundation, it would take considerable amount of time, effort, expense, and you would have to hire a staff or board members to carry out administrative tasks on their own. Another thing that is valuable in setting up a donor advised fund at Capstone is that we conduct an independent audit each year, publish an annual report. There's public disclosure of grants, and thoughtful selection of board members ensures the funds are used in the community's best interest.
Yeah, I think another thing that a lot of people may feel, particularly with some of the new emphasis that are coming down in our community, where people would rather be anonymous in giving rather than to be more open. And when you go through a private foundation, nothing's private because it all has to be out in the open as to what people have given and so forth. But if you go through a public foundation, people can name what their fund is. You can name it your personal foundation. You can name it to be in the name of your favorite pet. You can name it to be something that has been a very significant thing in scripture that you want to have. It can resonate with what you want to give to. But the idea is that under Capstone, that does not have to be publicly known as to who is giving to what. There can be the anonymity because you are in a public foundation. So for people who want to be not to be dunned by a lot of outside services, realizing that you're giving to them when they see it, it can go out privately and anonymously through us. So that's something. One of the things, too, about setting up a foundation in a community organization is it saves you time. Legal costs, because Merle does a lot of those things here for our clients. Tax filing, as he's just talked about, and administrative hassle. So we talk about the fact that we take out all the compliances, the complexities, and just give you the fun of giving. Right, Merle?
Yes, that's right.
Some of the things that people don't always think of giving is they can give pieces of real estate. They call non-liquid assets. And if they have something that they're not using and they've kind of wondered what to do with, it can be people, even in apartments. We have somebody we're working with who has apartments that are under lease, but they also have some part of that they own. And that can be put into Capstone with a note, right? You can do that?
Yes, that's right.
And there are some very interesting tax consequences that can go along with that. A closely held business interest as an S-Corp stock or C-Corporation stock, LLC interests or limited partner interests can be put in. Is that right, Merle?
Yes, that's right. There are some limits on the amount of your adjusted gross income, as we've talked about before, for donations of stock that are publicly traded or closely held. You get a tax deduction of 100% of the fair market value, but if that exceeds 30% of your AGI, your adjusted gross income in the current year, you're limited to that, and you will have to carry forward any tax deduction that remains.
But you can't carry it forward. That's a good thing.
That's right, and that's true of real estate too. You have a tax deduction of 100% of the fair market value of the real estate, but again, in any given year, it's limited to a percentage of your adjusted gross income with the carry-forward possibility.
But it also eliminates capital gains. If they have bought a property at a certain price and it's appreciated over time, instead of having to factor that into income tax, it automatically eliminates that because you're going into a 501c3, right?
Yes, and that raises a very important point that if you're considering donating the value of real estate or a gift to a 501c3, a charity like Capstone, or your donor-advised fund, you should remember that if you sell the property and give a cash gift from the property, you will have to pay taxes on that capital appreciation. But if instead you donate the property and it's later sold, then the full fair market value of that property is given, is counted as a tax deduction and goes to your charitable purpose.
Yeah, one of the things we did, I think we had somebody who wanted to open a donor advised fund after they'd sold their business. And the thing that, as an example, is if they had wanted to give 10% or they'd wanted to give 20%, it reduces the tax on the sale, right? Because it is brought into Capstone, and then we become a deeded part of that sale. We go to the sale with the business owner, and that automatically takes that off the taxable part of the sale. It then goes directly into a fund that they then have the privilege of being able to give back to the community. If you sell the company first, then you pay the total amount of taxes, and then out of that you put money towards your 501c3, so you've lost the opportunity to take advantage of that, right?
Yes, that's right. That's a very important point. And those kind of pitfalls can be avoided if you simply sit down with someone at Capstone or one of our charitable plan giving experts and talk over your purposes, what you're planning in terms of what you wanted, how you want your estate to be planned, and what you want to give to various, to one or more of your children. You can avoid these very serious pitfalls that really reduce the amount that you can give to your charitable purpose or the amount that you leave for a given person in your estate. Another of these pitfalls is a common one is for a parent to open a bank checking and savings account in a joint tenancy with a child, and in that way, when the parent dies, the child has full control and ownership of the amount in that checking and or savings account. This may defeat the very purpose that parent had in creating a will, wanting the will to be the primary dispositive instrument of the estate plan, and having a percentage go to charitable purposes. But instead, with this joint tenancy of this checking account, the money will go not according to the will, but according to the checking account instrument. So there are very serious pitfalls that need to be avoided, and we'll be glad to sit down and talk with you about those kind of pitfalls in your estate planning.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we really have here is the opportunity to create customized services for people who have a variety of things that would like to do, and maybe no simple one thing fits all. But we have what we call customized solutions for ministries, for individual givers. They're just a whole bevy of kind of things that, to me, get very exciting when we realize how we can help people, even sometime with notes. We'll be talking about that as time goes on. But if we have interested you in some of the things we've talked about, please feel free to call Capstone at their office at 610-688-8890. You can talk to myself, Merle, or Tom Kaiser. Any of us are here to serve you. Find out more about us and what we can do to help you and the tools that we have. Until then, we hope that God will give you support and will bless your living legacy. Capstone Legacy Foundation is your solution for tax-efficient charitable giving. We are located in Wayne, Pennsylvania. It is a Christian community foundation and has a 501c3.
Capstone offers a wide variety of charitable giving tools and solutions for donors and givers in the Northeast Corridor and throughout the United States. Our website is at www.capstonelegacy.org, and you can find on our website much of the information that we've given you today.
And more.
And more, yes, that's right.
And we're located at 900 West Valley Road, Suite 203, Wayne, Pennsylvania. Once again, our phone number is 610-688-8890. God bless you. And